Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek He, Mishnah Aleph, after the judges dealt with the witnesses and gave them proper warning that they have to make sure that their testimony is correct, to make sure that they're not giving false testimony, the witnesses then are asked certain questions. Mishnah says, Hayu bodkin otan b'sheva hakirot. The judges would examine the witnesses and give them seven questions. Be'eze shavua, what week, quote unquote, did the crime that you're talking about and that you're here to give testimony occur? When we say here Shavua, it means during what Shemitah cycle? The Shemitah cycle is the 6 years that a person is allowed to work in Eretz Yisrael, and on the seventh year, he has to take off. That's called the Shemitah. Seven of these equal the Yovel, and then the cycle starts over again. So the year was identified by the number of the Shemitah cycle after the last Yovel, and then by the number of the year within that Shemitah cycle. For example, if it was the 18th year after the Yovel, it's the fourth year of the third Shemitah cycle, because each one is 7 years, so 7, 14. And then the fourth year of that third cycle, and so it's the third Shemitah cycle after the Yovel in the fourth year. So they ask him that first to get more specific. And then they say, Be'ezo Shana, which year of the Shemitah cycle? So that's the first two questions. So the which cycle, and then what year specifically within that cycle, which we just said. Be'ezeh hodesh, which month did this crime that you're here to testify happen? Be'kama b'hodesh, what date of the month did it happen? Be'ezeh yom, what was the day of the week? Was it a Tuesday? Was it a Wednesday? Be'ezeh sha'ah, what hour of the day? And then lastly, be'ezeh makom, in which place did the crime happen? The witnesses had to answer all of these questions correctly and with proper information. Without this information, the testimony is considered to be invalid. The place is especially crucial because we have a process called hazama. If witnesses claim that they saw a person do a certain avera or a certain crime happened on, they gave all the dates and all that, and they said it happened in Yerushalayim. They were in this spot on this date of the month, and they gave all the dates, and it happened in Yerushalayim. Two witnesses showed up and said that. And then two other witnesses said, no, that can't be. You, witnesses number one, were with us in a different place. You were with us in Sefat during that time. So it can be that you're giving testimony about Yerushalayim on that date. You were with us somewhere else. That's those original witnesses who now were saying, gave false testimony, are called Edim Zomemim, plotting witnesses. They were trying to hurt somebody else, and they were giving false testimony, trying to cause somebody else to be punished. So we only believe those second witnesses in this type of case. So the place is crucial because we want to allow the hazama process to play out. We want other people to be able to say, no, first set of witnesses, you weren't there. We were with you elsewhere. So that's why the makom has to be given. The next Tana is going to agree that the witnesses have to say when and where the crime happened when they're giving testimony, but they say we don't have to ask them all of these questions. We have to limit the amount of questions. Rabbi Yoseh Omer, Rabbi Yoseh says that the court doesn't ask seven questions, but only asks three questions. Be'eze yom, on what day of the week did the crime occur? Be'ezo sha'ah, in what hour? And lastly, be'eze makom, in what place did the crime occur that you're here giving testimony about? The mahloket here between Tanakama and Rabbi Yoseh is talking about a situation that happened very recently where somebody comes forward that they have a crime they want to report and give testimony about that happened within the last few days. So those earlier questions are what Shemitah cycle, what year, what month, all of that becomes not needed according to Rabbi Yoseh. From the context of the questioning and the back and forth between the judges and the witnesses, we're able to see what year and all that happened. So that's unneeded according to the BOC. But the BOC, of course, would agree that if it happened months ago or years ago, in that type of situation, the longer list of questions would have to be given to the person testifying. Hachamim say, Tanakama, the beginning of the Mishnah, the seven questions, they would say all of those seven questions have to be asked, even in a situation where the crime happened in the last few days, that the whole purpose of asking all of those questions is to confuse the witness, to upset him, so that he's gonna make sure that he's giving the correct testimony. We want to make sure that he's clear on what the situation is. We add in a few more questions that the judges or the court would ask in unique cases. Makirina temoto, when somebody is accused of murder, the judges would ask the witnesses, do you recognize the person who was killed? Do you know maybe they were someone who worshipped Avodah Zarah? Even though someone shouldn't go around killing people who worship Avodah Zarah, if they did, they aren't put to death for it. We leave that up to Hashem. Hashem served them the punishment. So therefore, we ask the witnesses, you saw someone die, but maybe it was an idol worshipper. And therefore, the murderer is in Hayav Mita. We also ask him, Hitretem oto? Did you warn the murderer before he committed the crime that he is doing something terribly wrong and that he's Hayav Mita, he's punishable by death if he goes through with it? If there's no Hatra'a, if there's no warning beforehand, and then the murderer would have to respond, yes, I know the punishment and I'm going through with it anyway, and then commit the murder right away. If all this didn't happen, if the victim was either a idol worshipper or there was no warning given, then there's no death penalty. So we ask these questions in a case of murder. Ha'oved avodah zarah, if somebody was accused of worshipping idols, then the judges ask the witness, et mi avad, what idol did he worship? Ubameh avad, and how did he worship it? Only certain types of avodah zarah would carry the death penalty. So therefore the Beit Din does the investigation to what was the type of avodah zarah that was done over here. Bowing down or sacrifices to any avodah zarah would make a person hayav mita. But if a person did other types of service to an idol or to another type of avodah zarah, the only time they get the death penalty is if it's the unique type of service that those idols, how they're worshipped. But if it's not the unique type, then they wouldn't be, the person who did the avodah zarah wouldn't be hayav mita. So therefore we're looking into things to make sure that everything was done exactly like it was said. And that's the only time we put somebody to death.